forms of my introduction here, and this will be a series, but it'll take a little while to get to that. I'm reading a book that sort of lights a fire under my faith, and I say it that way not because I necessarily lack the saving faith, but my faith needs a little maintenance. It needs a little, I have a vehicle, a car that runs and drives and functions just fine. But it doesn't look very good all the time. It's not always clean. It's not always running very well. It's much more fun to drive and more pleasant when it's clean and it's maintained and it's just top performance. And that's the way I see my faith. And I hope that makes sense. I want to talk about faith boosting. And we don't enter into this in an effort to prove God exists. And yet at the same time, looking at that proof is a good feeling. We're bombarded in this world, in this life with undermining faith things. We're bombarded with evil, with tragedy, with gee whiz, why did that have to happen? And those things tend to eat at our faith and tends to soil the surface. And we need to clean that up. I believe it's a good thing to boost our faith whenever we have opportunity to think about the things of God and to look at the so-called proofs, if you will, that God exists, that He's sovereign, that He's a God of love, a God of mercy. And my main focus here is going to be, and I wrestled with sovereignty and providence and the two words, and I love them both, and I love to think about them. And in the analytical mind, sometimes it's hard to reconcile those things. But to me anyway, they're fun to think about. It's fun to think about God's sovereignty and how absolute that can be. I mean, we tend to, in our minds, we're limited by time and space and the flesh and the soiled, unmaintained faith, if you will. And God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all things. We're gonna look first in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And this is my sort of springboard, if you will, to begin our series of thoughts on God's sovereignty and providence. And my title, for lack of a better term, is Sovredence. Sovredence. That's a combination of sovereignty and providence. And our intent is to boost our faith. There's a lot of wonderful things that you'll find in this book. And one of these lessons, I intend to look at the book itself. The seminar we had on the Word of God is just tremendous, and that's part of the influence on me for thinking about these things. The Word of God is true, and we can trust in it. We can have confidence in it. The existence of God is absolutely true, and we don't need to worry about that. We don't need to wonder, does God exist? look at Deuteronomy in chapter 4, in verse number 26, and here's a simple statement. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Heaven and earth. Moses calls upon the obvious things in front of you that you can see and that are tangible, if you will, in the flesh. And he says, because you can reach out and touch this, that is evidence and the platform for me to say what he's going to say, which is not good news. But I call heaven and earth to witness. And it just impressed me to think about all of the things in front of us or around us or that we experience in this life that are it's just the way it is. I'll believe it when I see it, right? I'll believe it when I see it. And if we can reach out and touch it, yep, okay, that's a church pew. There it is. See it, touched it, and I'm convinced, entirely convinced that that's a church pew. Well, everything can be that way. I believe that. I believe that sovereignty and providence are so complete that we can have that kind of conviction about everything. And sometimes we blow things off as well, it's coincidence. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that in your sovereign providence you've brought us to this time and place and to this day. This day that we call the Lord's Day, that you have set aside, that you have set the pattern, that we follow because we love you, Lord. Not because we mustered up the strength or will to love you, but because you loved us first. And we praise you for this moment in time that you have gifted us with. And we thank you, Lord, for the book that we have in front of us, your word unto us that is real, that is absolutely true, that is absolutely dependable, that has everything we need for our life to be pleasing unto thee. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless in this hour. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would move upon our hearts, that you would teach us by your word, that you would show us some glimpses of sovereign providence, that we might be encouraged, we might be lifted up, we might be stronger for it and more determined to live for thee. Lord, help us to be patient. Help us, Father, to understand that you're always working everywhere, every time and place. Help us, Father, to understand that all things work together for our good. Help us to love you more. We just pray that you'll bless in the services today, that you would be honored and glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Did that come true? Well, yes, it did. And there's more than one proof or evidence of that in biblical history and so-called secular history. There's no doubt that this came true, that Israel was driven from their land. No doubt in our minds, right? I call heaven and earth against you this day, just like Moses called the tangible evidence of creation into a testimony against Israel. Just like that, I give you the testimony of Israel to us that the Word of God is true, that the existence of God is absolute, that His power is beyond comprehension. Israel, brethren have called it God's timepiece. Brethren have called it many things in that lends towards the fact that's God's chosen people from the very beginning. And it's a witness to us. Watch Israel over time. Study Israel and its history, and everything you come across proves God's existence, proves God's working in this world, in this creation that we call home. It's really not our home. We're just here. Israel matters. Incidentally, there's the Trinity Broadcasting Network is putting out a series titled Israel Matters. And I enjoyed the first episode. It's a little bit on the emotional side, but it's just so interesting. Interesting because they're interviewing people from just every ethnicity. These people, in a way, they can't explain their inborn desire to go back to Israel. There was a Chinese woman that was every bit Chinese and every bit Jewish. She talked about just the yearning in her heart to be in Israel. She was brought up, her father was a Jew, and she was trained in Jewish things and so forth and brought up in that. And she actually tried to kind of go away from it because all she knew was the Chinese culture. So that was her life. But it wouldn't go away. And finally, she's in Israel and she gives testimony that it was within her desire to move back to her, she calls it her homeland even. Interesting stories, and it impressed upon me in the thought patterns that I was already in. Sometimes we get that feeling, and we just can't really quite explain it. And it's the working of the Holy Spirit. It's what it is. It's another proof that God exists, proof that He's working in our daily life, proof. There's a reason you get the feelings you get. There can be bad reasons you get the feelings you get, obviously. But think about it. Israel matters. Israel matters, and we know that. We already knew that. And I'm not telling you anything that you didn't already know. Watch Israel. The book I'm reading, it calls it The Mystery Nation or The Mystery of the Nation. And it talks about these things that are really amazing things. How could this be? Israel's the size of New Jersey. That it's a country, a state, the size of New Jersey. Israel does and is amazing things over time. I meant to bring my fourth page. Just think about the peoples in that we know of, the Amalekites. Amalekites, am I saying that right? Where are they at today? They're not here. What was another one? I can't remember. Israel, still here. I didn't look it up. I should have. Maybe one of the oldest nations in the sense of an ethnic group in the country still alive today, maybe. I mean, we're right up there with, I mean, China's a pretty old nation, but how can that be? I mean, it's the state the size of New Jersey. I've got it here somewhere, 7,800 square miles. Israel. If you rate all the nations of the earth or countries technologically, Israel's exports are 35% of Israel's exports are technology related. Israel's a leader, a world leader in technology. Israel's one among the top five in space science. A leader in space science. Israel developed the first unmanned aerial vehicle with real-time surveillance, the UAV. That's Israel's. Israel did that. This amazing nation is among the few nations in the world that have modern electric car infrastructure. For every gas station, there's a place to plug in your electric car. If you look on a graph that I found in innovations or inventions, so to speak, measured as by patents, registered patents, the United States is in first place. If you say patents per capita or population, Japan is second, Israel is fourth. Fourth in the world. Fourth in the world in a country the size of New Jersey. There's some 200-odd countries in the world. Israel's fourth. Israel has the highest concentration of engineers in the world. The highest concentration of engineers in the world, 135 per 10,000. 135 per 10,000. The United States is 85. Israel's blessed. It's obvious that Israel's blessed. You can watch it through history, and especially since 1948, or is that right? 48? Especially since then. Israel matters. You know, as we ponder these thoughts about the sovereignty and providence of God, and we notice things like God uses little to do a lot, that should boost our faith. God uses little. You know, sometimes we have a burden on our heart. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have time. I'm not sure how to manage that. I don't even know where to start. We don't know what's possible with God. We say anything is possible, but we don't really believe that. Because if we really believe that, when God puts a burden on our heart, we'd just do it. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I talk about these things, and I think about these things because I'm weak at that. I'm weak at acting on a burden. I'm weak at understanding that might have been the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Are we in a place? I mean, in my mind, the goal is every moment of every day. Are we in a place where we recognize the Holy Spirit speaking and we're ready to act on it? Faith boosters. The Word of God is true. The existence of God is true. You talk about the omnipresence of God. What does that mean? That means God is everywhere, right? At the same time, God is everywhere. Isn't that absolute? We don't like to use that word because it kind of complicates things in our mind. We like to think things are relative. You know, that I'm justified in this action because of that or that circumstance. That's relativity. Truth is not relative. Truth, it stands on its own. And God is the originator of truth. There is an absolute truth. It's right here. We have it. We can dig into it. We can study it. We can absorb it. We can dwell in it, and we'll be better for it. Every moment that we can spend absorbing absolute truth will be to our benefit, will be to our growth, our I would say understanding, but it's not an education that you necessarily achieve just by reading. It's about the Holy Spirit. These things are spiritually discerned. But if we're not dwelling in it, it's not going to get discerned. You have to be there. You have to be within it to get anything from it. Faith boosters. Truth is not relative. My perspective is very relative. I don't know what I don't know. But we can see in this life there are many, many things, and we're just going to talk about a few of them. We're by no means going to exhaust this subject. Many, many things will boost our faith towards the existence of God, the absolute power of God, the sovereignty of God, absolute sovereignty of God. Yeah, I have trouble reconciling that, but I believe it's true. And we'll talk about that soon. The providence of God, His absolute presence. And you know, in all that, and here's what I think, what pops in my head whenever we talk about sovereignty or absolute sovereignty, I think, well, what's the purpose of prayer then? If everything is just laid out and it's just going to be what it is and He's in control, why do we pray? Prayer is a privilege. And this is how I think about it. Prayer is a privilege. The privileges of prayer, the same power of sovereignty, that same power puts within my heart the desire to pray. Prayer is a privilege. God gives us the opportunity to participate in His sovereignty. How cool is that? We have this opportunity to be a part of something great. And I neglect it so bad. Prayer is a privilege. It's not a burden. It's not a work. It's a privilege. And I don't take advantage of that privilege near like I should. I believe our potential in this flesh, our potential for growth spiritually, is connected very closely to our willingness to spend time in prayer. And along with that, spending time in His Word. The Word of God is absolutely true. And we're going to talk about some things that proves that, although I'm not setting out to debate it. I'm talking about boosting our faith, cleaning up our faith in a way that is maintaining it, boosting it, and growing it, and strengthening it, exercising it to further our walk, to grow our walk in this life. Israel matters. And that's our first point. In the sovereignty of God. Israel's existence today in her history is a testimony of God's existence, a testimony of God's power, a testimony of God's sovereignty, of God's providence, of God's mercy. These are all very wonderful things to ponder and think about. Looking at Israel's history, reading the Bible, which is really quite a lot about Israel, isn't it? Deuteronomy in chapter 4 in verse 23, we see this. Take heed to yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. And we know that's all talking about God's covenant to Israel in specific. But think about it this way. Take heed to yourselves. What I see in that statement is dwell on some faith boosters. Think about some faith boosters. Take heed to yourselves lest ye forget. That's talking about boosting your faith. Don't forget. Don't get so caught up in the things of this life, day-to-day doldrums, is really what they are. I think they're really important, but the Lord tells me that really ain't nothing. It's not that important. And so I need forgiveness for that, because this stuff is really important. I got to go to work and I got to fix that and I got to improve that, and not that important. Take heed to yourselves. Spend some time in your faith boosters lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. The promises of God are true. You're not going to find them on your own. You got to spend time in the Word and sit under the preaching and study to show yourself approved. Study that the Lord will work in your heart and reveal things to you. That the Spirit will become active in your life. In verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness. Creation is the first big, large witness of the power of God. Do you really think it's possible that the predictability of just the days, time, seasons, years, all that that depends upon rotation and gravity and so all the words that they come up with, do you really think that just happens? That it's predictable within a millisecond? No, that's a witness of the power of God. The absolute power of God. The sustaining power of God. It's a witness of Him. Just like you cannot deny, I believe this, that there's enough evidence that Israel is blessed by God directly. You can't deny it. There's enough evidence. When Israel says something, I believe we ought to listen. I do. I believe there's enough evidence that they're a blessed people of the Lord that we ought to listen. Look at the United States in the past has been blessed because of its stand on morals and its foundation on the principles of God. Unfortunately, that seems to be going away, but there's obvious blessing of the Lord. How else do you explain it? I believe there's no other explanation. There's as you think about these things, how in the world did our founding fathers come up with that document or all those documents? How? God was involved. I'm convinced of it. In verse 32 of Deuteronomy in chapter 4, let's read a passage of scripture here. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. And ask from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Ask, have you ever seen anything like Israel? Has there ever been anything even heard of that has so many, quote, coincidences of the blessing of the Lord? How is it possible that Israel is what it is, has such an effect on our culture, has such an effect on world news, is such a... How often is Uruguay in the news? And then how often is Israel in the news? How do you explain that? Ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. And ask from one side of heaven to the other. Go looking for it. You'll not find it. There is not anything that hath been heard like it. Did ever, in verse 33, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? Who else can claim that we as a nation heard God speak out of a burning bush? Who else can claim that? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Does any other nation have these kinds of things in their history? Does any other nation have any claim to the fact that God works in their midst like this? Verse 35, unto thee it was showed. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else besides Him. And that's my major point today. There is none else. There's none else. God is absolute powerful. His existence is absolutely, I'll use this word, provable. Absolutely. Because there's no other explanation. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee. And upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out the nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. He does the impossible with the little. And we get nervous about a little burden, a little yearning of the Spirit to go do or say something. God does the impossible with little. To give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know, therefore, this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. I'm talking about boosting our faith today. We serve a big God, and we go about in this world, I know you all don't, but I do, as if we're asking, does God really exist? Why hasn't He done anything to me? What a silly question. Why hasn't He done anything? He's doing everything. He's doing everything. And one day, and I trust this is true, one day I'll understand it. I love singing Farther Along. It was a comfort to me when my mom died, because I didn't understand why that had to happen. But Farther Along, I'm going to understand why. I'm going to understand, and it's not just going to be about why as to settling my curiosity. It's going to be about, wow, that's wonderful. That's awesome. How God did that and made all this to work towards that. I don't know that right now. I mean, I see a few things in my life that wow, God did those and that, and He brought me from here to there, and He was working that to make me this and so forth. Yeah, that's another proof. We all have that in our individual lives. We have faith boosters, and we tend to not dwell on them as we should. Moses is encouraging the Israelites to think on these things. Consider it in thy heart, in verse 39, that the Lord, He is God. And He's not just God somewhere. He's God everywhere. Everywhere. There's none else. Thou shalt keep, therefore. Now see, all of that quote proof should be an incentive. It should be an encouragement. What are we going to do with all this evidence? Well, you know, out of a heart of love, thou shalt keep, therefore, His statutes, His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's some, I guess, practical reasons to serve the Lord. That's really secondary to what I'm talking about boosting our faith. And you know, thank goodness God does the work, because I don't know how I'd have ever figured it out. But you don't just jump into Christian or godly living and get rewarded for it, so to speak, in the sense of, well, if I do this, then that'll happen. Godly living comes about gently and from the inside out, to where it's a result of a heart change. And we don't serve the Lord for what we can get. We serve the Lord because we want to. And oh, how much more comfortable and rewarding it is when you get that straight in your mind, that I'm serving the Lord because I want to, not because I have to. And it's a privilege. It's a wow. He chose to use me in some little tiny way in His kingdom. And I don't understand how and why He did that. I don't feel like I've really got anything to contribute. I mean, Israel contributes to the kingdom of God. I can see that. Mike, I don't know. And I'm comparing me to Israel. It's kind of ridiculous, but God uses the little things to do great things. Who's to say He wouldn't use you or me for something great? We say that all things are possible with God. And we say it so much, I don't know if we really understand what it means. I think we limit God in those things because we're like, well, He wouldn't do that. I mean, that's the human brain, I guess, for lack of a better term. Well, yeah, He could do anything, but He just don't want to. I don't know. I think there's amazing things going on right now in this world, in this life. I think there's amazingly significant things going on. And time just goes and goes, and just like the Bible says, we've always said the Lord's coming back. Do we really believe it? Do we really live each moment as if it could be right now? In Deuteronomy in chapter 4, Moses preaches the things that make Israel what it is. And he uses perfect witnesses of God's power and purpose. And I believe we can look on these things and it can strengthen our faith. It can boost our faith, and we can have more and more confidence in the power of God. There's more history, more water under the bridge, so to speak, more evidence, if you will, that God is in control and He is able, when you look at the nation of Israel and its abundant happenings over time. And then look at your own life. And do the same thing and think about the little things. God's at work. The Bible says, did ever a people